you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Ron, just reading all kinds of things today about the late Willie Mays, who passed away yesterday, and thinking about, I think the phrase that Tim Kirchin put in his article was, he said he might have been the greatest combination of power, speed, and defense that the game has ever seen.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting the way he put it. And it certainly was Mays. But then I started thinking about all the other center fielders that I've seen. I never saw Duke Snider live.
He was the other one I was going to ask you about that people talk about.
But let's see, Joe DiMaggio, people rave about how great he was defensively.
Pump that into my veins. Dude, Pat and Ron went on that inning, just like weaving it in and around the play-by-play, talking about the great center fielders that they'd ever seen, the great defensive center fielders. I got a Devon White mention. I got an Andrew Jones mention. I mean, all of it because the image of Willie Mays playing baseball is so locked into your head. I mean, just all the broadcasts around MLB have been just kind of just swimming in Willie Mays stories for the past couple of days. It's been great.
I mean, what kid playing the game growing up didn't try to emulate? I played center field. So do you know how many times I tried to do the Willie Mays catch? I mean, I pulled it off in a meaningless, teen Little League game once, and the coach kind of pulled me aside and thought I was showboating.
It's the basket catch, but it's the glove upside down at midsection.
It's like the one where you're running.
Yeah,
and he thought I was showboating, but I was like, I've always wanted to try to do the Willie Mays thing.
Pete Crow McGuffey,
yeah. Right here.
A little mustard on that hot dog.
Don't try to run on me if you're going around second. Like if you go second, round third, look out. I mean. Dude, Willie Mays, this is why that's why the Rickwood game tonight, and it's coming back to how we started the show. I mean, it's kind of death is never beautiful. It sounds kind of weird, but I think there's some beauty in it tonight. I do. I think there's some beauty that Willie Mays passed this week.
There's some elegance in
there. There is. Like, I can find that beautiful. I can find a 93-year-old man living a long, fantastic life, obviously maybe Mr. Baseball, loved by everyone, that tonight's a tribute to his life. It was already a tribute to his life and the fact that he passed this way. It would have been a shame if he passed tomorrow, and that Rick Wood was they missed that. And, I kind of find some beauty in sadness sometimes.
I understand. I'm right there with you. I understand what you're saying, and we will not pull that headline that says McGuffey thinks it's beautiful that Willie Mays died.
I'm sure someone already has.
No, we're not going to do that. I completely identify with what you're saying. Willie was always called the greatest living ball player.
Yeah.
I've been in multiple text threads over the past couple of days with people saying, who's the greatest living ball player? And it's not an easy answer. It was an easy answer. Since Joe DiMaggio died, it has been Willie Mays. And Joe Posnanski wrote about it today in his email newsletter. It was, I learned so many interesting things, that in 1969, there was some big, award ceremony where they crowned the greatest team of all time and the greatest living team of all time. And Joe DiMaggio was awarded the title of greatest living ball player in 1969. Okay. He then, and this part I knew, he demanded that he be referred to as the greatest living ball player in every public appearance he ever made
following that. Like at Yankee Stadium for old timers games, whatever. It was in the contract. Joe DiMaggio, the greatest living ball player. Okay?
Can't spell Joe DiMaggio without ego, huh? I mean, you really can't.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. Now, Willie Mays, when he was a kid, loved Joe DiMaggio. Willie Mays said that he patterned his game in center field after Joe DiMaggio. He said Ted Williams was a better hitter, but he wanted to be Joe DiMaggio, which is pretty cool. I didn't know that. But when Joe D dies, Willie Mays becomes the de facto, and nobody disagreed, greatest living ball player. Okay? And that phrase, because of who Willie is, and I think also because of the way that Joe played, has always carried more than just skills and numbers with it. Greatest living ball player means somebody who inspires awe, yeah. Somebody who is sort of mythic in like the five-tool overall nature of the game and plays in a beautiful way. And Poznanski's point was that phrase has always been about a guy who other Hall of Famers admitted was the dude. That's just the dude. You know, it's like even among themselves, they'd be like, well, let me go get Willie Mays' autograph.
Right.
Let me go talk to him. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm here, but have you seen Willie? You know, that kind of thing. So now it's not an easy answer.
I think I keep thinking impossible is the word.
Well,
it comes with argument.
Well, see, here's the thing. The numbers and the skill set also says Barry Bonds.
100%.
It says that it's Barry Bonds, but it can't be Barry Bonds. How many people are comfortable saying it? How many people are going to be comfortable even having the designation on Barry when that does not come with awe and wonder and appreciation and any sort of, you know, mythic quality.
It's funny you use the word mythic because I was going to say, do you feel like there's that mythic figure when he's in the Hall of Fame where the players themselves are going, hang on, Willie's here.
Right.
I mean, we get to...
He's not even in the Hall of Fame, and a lot of Hall of Famers don't want him in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. So he can't be... That can't be the passing
he's
of
not
the torch.
He's not going to be there in the room when you're saying, guys, the greatest living ball player. He's not even going to be there.
And half of them are going to be like, this guy was a blank to me because of X, Y, and Z. And I know, I've talked to some former players about Barry Bonds and they're like, oh, worst dude ever. Like, and I don't know Barry Bonds. I was
right.
I was at the Barry Bonds press conference in 2005 where he was like, names, when the steroid press conference was happening.
Yeah.
And just watching him there seemed surreal because I'm like, this guy is delusional.
Right.
Like he's got, it's him versus the world and he likes it.
So greatest living ball player is not just wins above replacement total. It's not just all times numbers.
The whole package.
Willie had all that in a bag of chips, but I think you got to have the whole package for the conversation. And I'm comfortable with that. So, you know, Mike Schmidt gets mentioned.
Schmidt.
Johnny Bench gets mentioned. Ricky Henderson gets mentioned.
Interesting. Ricky likes that Ricky's mentioned.
Okay, but talk about a mythology and the skill set and the reverence. And so there's a lot of guys. Poznanski landed on Ken Griffey Jr.
Did I just blow it for you guys?
Both of ours. You're
working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
We were all going to give a name, like we talked about in the show, and you blew Ryan's, too.
Did you have Junior?
I started naming him.
What's that?
Junior also?
I have Junior's.
Right. And I had Ricky Henderson. I had a whole case for Ricky Henderson.
All right, let me hear it.
No, I'm not doing it anymore.
Why not?
No, absolutely
Yeah, why
not.
Would we do that when we're not going to read Joe Poznanski talk about
it? Yeah. Did Matthew
I didn't read Joe's
write
article
anything?
Either.
Did Joe Sheehan write anything that we should read
like,
about it?
It sounds like Joe named like 14 players.
Yeah, just
like,
pick a lane.
Yeah.
So we don't need to read Joe to tell Ryan and myself that Ken Griffey Jr. helped usher baseball out of like the hard-o 80s era into the cool 90s era with the upper deck card, the backwards cap.
Every kid.
The smile. We all wanted to be
I
like
wanted to
him.
I wanted to be lefty so bad only because of Ken Griffey Jr.
and talk about wearing that, the whole aura, the stigma.
Kenny, you don't have to, dude.
Yes, he does. It's I blew it. Okay, Shane, look, I'm not a perfect broadcaster.
I'm putting my head on backwards.
I'm not a perfect broadcaster, okay?
I'm putting my head on backwards.
You know, sometimes I felt so good about the way I set it up and talking about it. I felt great about it. And then I just...
I'm over it.
You don't seem over it.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Tanny, keep going. You were rolling.
Yeah, not really. But my point is... I only got a chance to cover one Super Bowl here with the station, you know, Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco. I tell the story all the time. You know, the room is filled with celebrities at Radio Row, but one guy walks in the room and everyone's heads turn. Athletes, actors, media people. Ken Griffey Jr., when he walks in the room, everyone's like, ooh, I need a selfie with that guy. I need to just be in his essence. You know, and that guy is just the perfect guy to wear this mantle of greatest living ball player because he's a great ambassador to the game, going to be a hitting coach for Team USA, you know, when he didn't have to do stuff like that. You know, it's just I think he is a perfect guy. Bonds was a better player, I think, all around, like, you know, before he took the stuff, allegedly, you know, I remember, I'm old enough to remember early Barry Bonds. So I don't have the same relationship as like a lot of people in media have with Bonds, where they just like hate him, don't want to talk about him, because I get why he may have did the things that he did, because he was the best player. And then he saw these guys who weren't as good as him try to get that edge, that next, you know, all the money, the accolades, fame, all that. So I get it. But Ken Griffey Jr. is like what Bonds would have been if he didn't do things to help him out and to stay on the field and stuff like that. So
agreed. Like, I remember Bonds in Pittsburgh thinking, man, I wish the White Sox had a guy like that. And I love, like, I think Frank's the best right-handed hitter I've ever seen. And I hopefully that stands true. But when we're talking about, I was going to build a case for Albert Pujols, but then I'm like, I just couldn't there's a big myth there. From Willie Mays to Albert Pujols.
I don't think he can be a first baseman. I mean, as a defensive first baseman, I don't think it can be.
It's incredibly hard.
It's true. All due respect to Mike Schmidt, I don't know if it can be a third baseman. Like, there's something about the grace of an outfielder and the control of all that space that matters.
There's one thing to think about with Barry Bonds that I think kind of, and Ricky Henderson was my choice, but if you take away, and this is going around on Twitter a lot the last few days, if you take away all the stats from his 7 MVP seasons, Barry Bonds still has 440 homers and 359 stolen bases, which no other player in baseball has. If you take away all the stats from all 7 MVP seasons.
No way, really? That's
440
crazy.
Homers, 359 stolen bases. I mean, no one else has ever done that.
The number, it's Bonds unassailable with the numbers. And oh, by the way, he was great on defense and he was great as a runner. He was great with all of it.
It can't be Bonds.
But it can't be Bonds.
If you take away all the homers from the steroid allegation years, he still has over 600.
They're not parading. The stats don't lie. He's fourth all time. Like, he's a top 5 WAR player of all time. I mean, it's the easy answer had he not been what he was.
Tell me why Ricky, because I give Ricky a lot of thought.
I mean, over 1,400 stolen bases, no one else even has 1,000. Played for 25 years.
Yeah.
I mean, 111, 112 career WAR. That's 30 more than Ken Griffey Jr. Played for longer, yeah. But, I mean, Ricky was transcendental.
He could do absolutely everything.
And there won't be another? Like, will ever come close to those.
No leadoff man.
No leadoff man will ever hit homers like he did in the leadoff position. No one will ever talk in the third person like Ricky did.
and the fact that he knew he was great, but he was never, like, malicious about it. It was an ego that was not malicious. It was kind of lovable.
Ricky's not bad. I mean, I like Griffey because there's too much. Like, he wore 24. Willie wore 24.
Mm-hmm.
Both center fielders. Defined an era. I mean, what Tanny was saying about what he did to take baseball at that time where it was bottomed out. You know, I'm still pissed about 1994. You know, I don't think I'll ever get over that because of how old I was at that particular point as a White Sox fan, where Frank Thomas, they had the best hitter in the game. And I'm still thinking about what
brutal.
It might have been.
Absolutely brutal.
But Ken Griffey Jr. was the face of baseball coming out of that. And obviously 1998 helped. The McGuire-Sosa home run chase brought it to the top again, but having that distinction of being, he was the kid. He was his, you know, oh, it's Ken Griffey Sr.'s kid. He's the number one pick. He's on every card. He had all. He was Bryce Harper before Bryce Harper. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Yep. He had to live with that when that was the only thing that mattered.
I think it's Griffey, and I think you guys are right, and I think that Ricky deserves mention. And, you know, texters want to say Pete Rose. Pete Rose did not have enough power, and that has to be part of it because that's one of the five tools. And I also want to say one more thing.
Also, if you pay Pete Rose enough, he will put that on a baseball. So I love
this.
For
an interesting Ichiro is an interesting one.
Ichiro is like,
that's an interesting one. That's a good name.
Talk about elegance and grace and
giving
genius.
Back to the game. I mean, that guy's all over Seattle. He's out in the outfield all the time. Is he the greatest? I like that one.
Ichiro Suzuki.
Yeah,
we're talking about the same one.
Yep. Yeah, Ichiro Johnson also pretty good. But not, and Ichiro Goldstein.
I mean, the way baseball is using Ken. I mean, you talked about Tanny about how his Team USA's hitting coach. They used him last year in the field of, or what, 2 years ago in the Field of Dreams game. Yeah. We talked about the father son moment they've had. Like
it has all that mythic nature.
He's trying to help us get rid of our dad bods also on social media. He's got that going. You know, yes, granted, he's no Big Hurt in that department, but you know,
and he's also, I had Doug Glanville on a couple of weeks ago on Hit and Run. He said that he's noticed a Griffey becoming more active with his legacy and like more active with like black baseball and everything. So kind of embracing this next chapter. So,
and he threw out he had a big outfield assist in the blackout case. There it is. So it has
to
be.
He was a White Sox and he avoided scandal. Look, so that alone.
Two things. One is that we got to come back and talk about the candy bar, how I'm eating it. And I wonder if you are. And two, I don't think I entirely ruined the segment. We'll let the guys decide next. Ooh. On 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.